Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Juice on the Cuse podcast, presented by the Bleav Network alongside Brad Bierman. This is Wes Chang. Got another full show for you. We will get to the Syracuse men's lacrosse loss to Maryland and our NC State preview in a bit, but we begin today's show with Saturday's 65-60 loss to Georgia Tech on the road. You know, Brad, I thought Syracuse could develop some momentum after that dramatic win over number 7 UNC last week. Instead, they lose to a team that's well below 500 in another resume-killing loss for this Orange team. Brad, what do you see from your vantage point?
Well, I certainly agree with you, Wes. I thought they'd have some momentum, even though I'm always leery of taking Syracuse on the road in the ACC. And I went and looked it up, and they only have winning records on the road against 3 ACC teams since they've been in the conference. So they only win 40% of the time roughly on the road in the ACC over the decade they've played. So road games are tough. They only have winning records against Notre Dame, Boston College, and NC State, ironically. And I think that's going to change in Tuesday night's game. Currently Syracuse has won 3, lost 2, but that just shows you in the ACC, even the second to last place team at home is a threat. If they hit 3-point shots, if they rebound, the two things that Syracuse failed to do. Wes, it's been mind-boggling, hasn't it? All season long, the lack of rebounding and 3-point shooting, isn't that the modern college game? You have to do those two things to win. If you don't, you're not going to win.
Yeah, Brad, you're right. If you can't win if you can't score, and there wasn't much of that down the stretch for Syracuse on Saturday. I mean, you mentioned the 3-point shooting. The last 3-point shot Syracuse hit was that Chris Bell 3-pointer. With 5:50 to go, Syracuse goes up 55-54. Maybe you think that Syracuse had climbed all the way back. It turns out that that was the last field goal of the game. And, you know, 4 shots, missed opportunities after that. And you pointed to it, 4-for-25 shooting from downtown. The rebounding margin, 49-28 for the Yellow Jackets. And Syracuse has been playing 4 guards plus Malik Brown ever since Benny Williams was dismissed from the team. And that's really showed over the past few games in that department. And, Brad, I wanted to pivot to tonight's game against the Wolfpack. As you mentioned, Syracuse has struggled on the road since they've been in the ACC. They come in with only 2 ACC road wins all year, 2 ACC road wins all year. So Syracuse battling NC State, one of the better teams in the ACC, 8-6 conference record, just 3.5 games out of first place. What do you think of this game?
Well, the matchup's tough. I thought it was tough in the dome. And when Syracuse beat the Wolfpack in the dome, I thought it's one of the better games they've played up until when they beat number 7 North Carolina. This matchup's always been tough. Big guy in the middle for NC State. That's one of Syracuse's weaknesses. And let's face it, Georgia Tech proved it. If the opposition's going to hit 3-point shots against Syracuse's man defense, then they go into the zone and it's got to work. And if it doesn't, they're in trouble. And I want to segue on one point off the court for a moment, if I may, Wes. You mentioned Benny Williams' dismissal. You know, our Mark Turcotte was at the game in Atlanta reporting from very close to the Syracuse bench. And from what he observed and was sharing with us, during the game, post-game, seemed like a lot of tension on that sideline, especially between Chris Bell and Red Autry. Q Copeland and Judah Mintz kind of trying to calm things down there. I really wonder. And then you see it with the team staying in Atlanta on Sunday, supposedly a little bit of bonding, relaxing in a nice environment of Atlanta on Sunday, flying up then on Monday to Raleigh for the game Tuesday night, as per ACC rules, have to be in that city the night before the game. But this is kind of interesting to me. What's going on off the court, how Red and the staff is kind of massaging the team here down the stretch with a lot of pressure to get, you know, to an NIT bid. So that means, you know, finishing 3-2, again on the road at Louisville, maybe a win, but covering the games at home and finishing a tough game with Clemson. And then for the first time, we've talked about it all year, will they do anything in the ACC tournament? So to me, beside the matchups on the court, saw from the first game, Syracuse did score, did distribute the ball. Will that transcend to, you know, this bonding session for a couple of days and the performance on the court? I think that's going to be really interesting to see.
Yeah, I think it was an interesting tactical move by Red Autry to keep them on the road. You know, not flying back to New York, maybe you have less distractions and you can just focus on the team, just focus on the task at hand in the game in front of you. And Brad, one thing that I wanted to point out to you is that this is an important game for their resume, maybe not for the NCAA, because I think that's likely out of the question, but for that NIT resume, because for the moment, this is actually a quadrant one game for the Orange, because NC State, coming off that big win against Clemson, is actually up to 75th in net, and Q1 victories are rewarded to road wins over top 75 teams. So there is a huge opportunity tonight to pick up that third quad one win of the season. I think that might actually lock up an NIT spot. Again, that's probably not what Syracuse fans wanted to aim for this season, but it is what it's in front of them. There's not a lot of teams that are going to get left out of the NIT tournament with three quad one wins.
Well, the way I look at that, though, Wes, is this, you know, is the Syracuse team that is put together right now capable of doing it? I mean, we've kind of been sucked in most of the season thinking, including what we just talked about. I thought they'd had momentum about beating Carolina. They go down to Atlanta. Here's Georgia Tech now losing at Notre Dame a night later. So they have a little less time to prepare, but credit Damon Stoudemire, got them ready to play at home, where you already knew they had beaten Carolina and Duke. So they were capable, even though they lost to some teams, you know, at the bottom of the standings too. So I just don't know if they have the makeup for 40 minutes to hit enough three-point shots to get that inside scoring there, have enough guys tenacious rebounding with a seven-man rotation. I just don't know. And so I agree with you. Great to get these quad one and two victories, especially on the road in the ACC. But we are looking at, for all intents and purposes, NIT, unless they made a run in the ACC tournament. So, you know, is that going to get you a home game? Would they want to host a home game? I guess so, but who knows? But that's a bigger question to me. We've seen it's a mediocre performance. They're right down the middle. I can't deviate from that to think there's any reason. You know, Jim Stecholte wrote in one of his post-game stories a couple of weeks ago on our site that, you know, win four games in a row in the ACC tournament. Can they win four of the final nine? Back then, he was saying, and I agree. So great to win, to sweep this team. Let's see if they play like they did at Pittsburgh and sweeping a team that's higher than them in the standings. That would be a great win and would show something from this road trip at Carolina State.
And Brad, shifting from the hardwood to the lacrosse world, Syracuse with a 13-12 overtime loss to number 5 Maryland on Saturday. That game happening around the same time in the men's basketball game. And Brad, I don't know if I necessarily believe in good losses, but if you're a team like Syracuse, led by sophomores and transfers, knowing you can go toe-to-toe with a top-5 team and essentially, I think, win the game in overtime had that Michael Leo goal been allowed, I think that has to give the team at least a little bit of confidence as they head into the rest of the season.
I certainly agree, Wes. And my thought about that lacrosse game is this. Number one, love the fact that, you know, 7,000 or so turned out in the dome. That really stood out to me, that the fans are starting to buy in year 3 of what Gary Gate is trying to do. kind of, you know, admiration from afar to see, okay, he brought some players in from the transfer portal. The recruiting is still humming a little bit. It's still Syracuse lacrosse in that regard. But again, we've been talking about it with basketball, national relevancy. It's the number one topic on my mind is, you know, someone that's followed the Orange for so long, it's been missing now for the last half a decade. And it's really tough for the fan base and for folks like you and I covering the teams on a regular basis. So I like what he's doing here in year three. Now, I don't put everything in the Maryland game, certainly on the Leo overtime goal being disallowed, because it was 5-2 after the first period, struggled to get back to into the game at halftime, and then had opportunities way before that Leo goal was waved off to win the game. I certainly thought Sammy English's shot should have cranked up a shot, the mini transfer from Princeton in OT. I thought right there, boom, he's going to shoot and score, and he didn't. So, I mean, things happen, as we all, as we talk about in sports and as the Orange players and Gate talked about after this game, game of inches, and things happen. They'll learn. They'll settle down. The ACC is so tough, Wes. I mean, it's ridiculous. Notre Dame, Virginia, and Duke, top five teams. So let's just take it one game at a time. Next is Utah. Utah will come in. Yeah, not as talented a team as Syracuse, certainly new to the sport in Division One. But these are, I really, again, like how they set up the schedule, had their first test, now can go back to games against Utah, Army, and High Point to get ready for road games, which are going to dominate the second half of the season.
And that second half of the season, I look at games in 2023, like a 2012 loss to Notre Dame or a 1912 loss against Virginia. Both those teams are on the schedule again this year because they're in the ACC. I think this team looks better four games into 2024 season than they did last year. And I think those games against those ACC powers are going to be a heck of a lot more competitive this season. I do think that they've had a year to learn from their mistakes. Their freshmen are now sophomores. You can see what they can do in terms of being behind 5-2 and then clawing their way back into the game and having an opportunity to win that game. So I think a lot of positive signs for the Syracuse lacrosse team, despite their first loss of the season.
I totally agree. The trajectory is still upward. It's there to make the NCAA tournament. That's the goal. That will make the season. So plenty of lacrosse left to play to hit that mark.
We're going to take a quick break. We will continue our NC State preview after the break. I'm Wes Chang. This is Brad Bierman. This is the Juice on the Cuse podcast on the Bleav Network.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, Wes Chang here with you. We are thrilled to be joined today by JC Zenball from Wolfpack Central here on the Rivals Network. JC, appreciate your time today. I want to get you started on this one. Syracuse will match up against NC State tomorrow, Tuesday, their second of the home-and-home series this season. If I say 2023-24 NC State basketball, what do you say in response?
Bit of a roller coaster ride. I would say probably at this point, more NIT than NCAA tournament in terms of what side of the bubble they are on. But they have basically some major opportunities ahead of them. They will play Duke. They will play UNC. They do have at Pittsburgh. They do have Syracuse. So it's out there for them. Just a matter of how many wins can they accumulate down the stretch. And that's basically NC State in a nutshell. You know, right when you think you have them figured out, they throw something different. So the last five games, it's been DJ Horn. DJ has had a solid year, but he's gone whole next level the last five games. I don't have stats on, you know, the exact stats, but I mean, now he's a legit chance of scoring 25 plus points. And he's just been torching people. So he had a huge game against Clemson in the win. He put them in a position to have a chance against Wake Forest. You know, he's really put them on their shoulders in terms of the offensive output the last five games. So that's the, I guess, the latest iteration of Wolfpack basketball.
I think Syracuse fans can relate because, you know, coming off a win over number seven UNC and then following that up with a loss against sub 500 Georgia Tech. So we can certainly understand where you're coming from. You know, give me a scouting report on NC State. You know, besides the guys you just mentioned, who on the Wolfpack should we be looking out for?
Well, they're an interesting team because they have a group of guys who want to get out and run. But when they don't run, then they pound the ball inside to DJ Burns, who's clearly not a runner at 300 plus pounds. So, you know, DJ is that guy who everyone kind of knows what's coming when he gets the ball in the post, and yet it's still difficult to stop. So when he's on the left block, he likes to go to the baseline because he's a lefty. So he can free up that left hand for the half hook on the baseline. When he's on the right block, he likes to turn into the middle to free up the left hand in the middle. And some teams have double teamed him. You know, some games he's turned it over passing. Some games he's been very good passing. So there's the DJ Burns component where, you know, if he's bringing his A game, he usually will play about 25 minutes and get about 14 points. The X factor of late is, you know, they've gone through stretches where they played small ball. And now they might be going through a stretch where 6'10 Muhammad Diarra is going to play with DJ Burns because Diarra is playing really well. You know, he's that guy who in the beginning it was like, no, when he shoots a three, but now he's starting to make enough of them where it's become yes, yes, yes. And what's fun about him is that I don't think, like, he's just unflappable. Like, I don't know if I could call him, one of my favorite basketball terms is, you know, some guys have that confidence that no matter what, they're going to do it. You know, like Turkavian Smith was that, you know, last year, you know, where he just thought every shot was going to go in. I wouldn't put Diarra on that kind of a level of a chucker or anything like that, but he does have that confidence or the self-belief that he thinks he can do these things, and lately he has. So when he plays well, that's a different dynamic. And then pretty much the four guards on the perimeter, Michael O'Connell at point guard, DJ Horn, who we just talked about, Jaden Taylor at shooting guard, Casey Morcell, who's kind of played the three, but when they really go small, he ends up at the four. You know, they've been, you know, Taylor and Morcell have been hot and cold with their jumper. If Taylor and Marcel and Horn are all on, they're a tough team to beat. But it's been hard for them to all three be on at the same time. And then O'Connell's basically the pass first point guard, traditional point guard. And that's basically the first six guys off, you know, in terms of main guys. And then Ben Middlebrooks is has become the third post player. He's solid as a backup. And then what was interesting about the Clemson game, former starter Dennis Parker, a freshman who's had some good games this year, that was the first time he did not play at all. So it'll be interesting to see if the rotation is – they essentially played seven guys. An eighth guy played a couple of minutes, but essentially it was an eight-man or a seven-man rotation against Clemson. And that was the first time they've really been that kind of tight with the rotation. So that's essentially NC State. The key guys and how they roll. Jaden Taylor's usually guards the best perimeter player. So I'm sure he'll get a lot of action against Judah Mintz. Casey Marcel is good friends with Judah Mintz, so it never surprises me that when they match up against each other, because, you know, Casey knows what Judah likes to do because they grew up together in the DMV. But, you know, otherwise most of the guys are, you know, pretty traditional defenders, but, you know, they try to have Taylor on the best ball handler.
You know, since Syracuse and UNC, NC State matched up, you know, it's been kind of inconsistent for both teams. You know, I think you guys have gone 3-2, you know, wins over Miami, Georgia Tech, and then Clemson, and losses to Pitt and Wake Forest. So I am curious to get your prediction on how the second round of NC State and Syracuse is going to play out.
Well, I mean, you know, if anything about the ACC right now, it's unpredictable. You know, I was driving back from watching a sophomore in high school who has a chance to be a good player one day. And I was shocked at the Virginia Tech Virginia score. And I think the final was 75 to 41. So I didn't see that coming at all. You know, the thing with the NC State Syracuse first meeting, you know, like I said, it's really one of the three games this year where State just wasn't in it. You know, they struggled. And, you know, J.J. Starling got off to a good start. Chris Bell kind of then picked up the torch and carried it for a little bit. And then Judah Mintz got going right before halftime and into the second half. And I think the biggest adjustment that State will try to make, and it's hard, but, you know, Judah Mintz can't go to the free throw line 18 times. And so that's going to be one of the first things. You know, I mean, from what I saw, I mean, obviously you're more Syracuse expert than me. I was pretty impressed with the length and the athleticism and the size of Syracuse. You know, they're much bigger and longer, I think, than people generally realize. Because, you know, with State, when they have Taylor and Horn on the court together, that's, you know, basically like 5'11 and essentially like around 6'2, 6'3. So those are smaller guards. Obviously, Burns is a whole unique animal at his size, but, you know, but I was just impressed with, in general, just, you know, way Syracuse carried themselves with Brown and Copeland inside and how hard they played. Now, another subtle thing that is a big difference between the first matchup and now, you know, Syracuse fans, I'm sure, were frustrated by him, but the one time that Benny Williams was really good was against NC State off the bench. He was a problem in that game. So now no Benny Williams. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens there. So typically Syracuse fans travel well to PNC Arena in Raleigh, historically. Just like apparently they do very well when Buffalo plays the Hurricanes in hockey. So there must be a good upstate New York contingent that lives in the Triangle area. So I expect a pretty good sized crowd, and you know, it'll be interesting to see which of the two, you know, how the teams show up. You know, State seems to have found themselves the last five games. You know, even those two losses that you mentioned, Pittsburgh came down to the wire, Wake Forest literally the last possession. So, you know, they're right there, but like I said, they're that team that usually is right there with 3 minutes left, and then whoever executes best down the stretch wins.
JC, we really appreciate the time again. JC Zembal, Wolfpack Central on the Rivals Network. JC, we appreciate a couple minutes of your time. We'll see how the game goes, and again, we appreciate you coming on the program.
Not a problem.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, I'm Brad Bierman, joined by my longtime partner, Wes Kang. And Wes, so great to join you and talk about Syracuse basketball. But I want to talk about a former Syracuse Orange player and coach, and that's Mike Hopkins out at Washington. And word out of Seattle within the past couple of days is, indeed, the Husky program is going to make a change and move Mike Hopkins out of that position as they go into the Big Ten next year and have a new athletic director. I think back to 2017. Remember that game, NIT first round, Mississippi beat Syracuse in the Dome. And after that game, Mike Hopkins let Jim Boeheim know that he's going to move on to the University of Washington. And it really shocked Boeheim because a succession plan was in place, supposedly. Then Boeheim had the opportunity to coach his kids, and all that change went out the window. And Jennifer Cohen, the AD at Washington at the time, came to Syracuse, hired Mike Hopkins, and had great success early on. And folks really thought that he was going to, you know, build a program there, a perennial NCAA contender. Didn't happen. A lot of bad luck, a lot of misfortune, players moving on, academically ineligible. I also think, Wes, that the zone defense – that he employed there under Jim Boeheim kind of ran its course, as we've seen as Red Autry took over and it was switching right away to man-to-man. And where does he go next? Well, I think be a pay cut to be a broadcaster. That's talked about, a pay cut to be an assistant coach in the NBA, which I think would be great experience. But I think it's going to be something like that for him. Maybe Seattle gets an NBA expansion team one day. Who knows? So all the best to Mike Hopkins, his family, great guy, great people, and want to wish them the best in his career moving forward.
Brad, I wanted to talk about the Syracuse women's basketball team for my closing note. You know, the men, as we've discussed, have struggled, but their counterparts on the women's side have not. They're up to number 17 in the country, riding a 5-game winning streak, including winning their last two conference games on the road. You know how hard it is to win on the road in the ACC. They are now 22-4 overall, 12-3 in conference. What an impressive start to the women's team so far. Hats off to them. And I have to say, if you are a women's college basketball fan, what a time for you to like women's college basketball, because you see the amazing things that Caitlin Clark is doing over at Iowa, breaking the NCAA women's basketball record. And she's going to break the record of all time, men's or women's, when she passes Pistol Pete Maravich. She only needs 93 more points for that. So what an amazing time to watch and follow college women's basketball. And I again, it's just so much fun to watch not only the Syracuse team, but just women's college basketball overall.
It's going to be the most popular women's Final Four, I think, to date, coming up in March. Yes.
That's it for us. For Brad Bierman, this is Wes Chang. You've been watching the Juice on the Cuse podcast on the Believe Network and Rivals, and we'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.